Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. Or maybe you're watching on our new Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel. But if you're watching, you see I got a great guest. I'm excited to have Asad Murdoch with me today. And I don't know who sent out the memo about the blue shirt, but we both got it. Welcome, Asad.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you bringing me on to the show. I've been listening to the podcast, so it's a special treat to be on the podcast for sure.
Hey, that's awesome, man. And one thing, you know, before we get going here, I don't think I'm anybody special, but a lot of folks think that I help them a lot. And so they think a lot of me for whatever reason, but I'm just a regular guy. But one thing I want to do is, as long as I can, I want to try to be available to, you know, to folks like you. And I want to share our relationship with other people, because I never got to talk to my mentors like this. I never got to talk to them really on the phone or nothing personal like that. So I'm trying to be there for other people. Like I wish those guys could have been there for me. And some of them still alive. They just ain't out there for us like that. So thanks, Asad. How did we actually come to know each other?
Yeah. So I was an operations manager for a furniture manufacturer for 16 years. And I had a great mentor my last 7 years at that company. And he was always growing and developing himself. So I was watching him, and those were the things that I was trying to do. I know that he went and took some Lean Six Sigma stuff. Yeah. So I was looking into, you know, the Lean stuff. I had already been familiar with it for several years, but nothing formal. And he left our company. When my mentor left our company, he had left me with a lesson. He had told me something. He said that they're gonna hire people above you. He said, but the right thing for you to do is you help those guys no matter what. Like, don't be resentful that they didn't give you the position and the title and all of that. He was like, because anybody that they bring in here, they're going to have to refer to you. He said, so what you need to do is make sure that you help them. He said, you need to go above and beyond to help those guys be successful. He said, and the people are going to know who was the one really pulling the strings. He said, but your attitude and the way you go about what you do is going to be the thing that's most important. So, you know, it happened exactly the way he said it was. I think I had three different guys. They actually had like the official operations manager position, the title. And at this time, I was like a area manager over the front of the shop. Again, I had been here like 16 years. So at some point, I had supervised, led, and managed every single department in that building over my 16 years. Yeah. He was going out the building, so I needed to keep growing. So now I was like, where am I gonna get this information from? You know, I could always call and reach out to him, but he had taken a high level position at a really big company. HEB Manufacturing is probably one of the biggest HEB Grocery is probably one of the biggest companies in the country, one of the top companies in the companies. I think number one in grocery, actually. Okay. And yeah. He was starting a new position, and you know, I wanted him to be successful. Like, so I couldn't be calling him every day saying, hey, this thing came up. What do I do? So I needed to, like, start working on myself. I needed to start taking my leadership to another level. So I was looking around. I was on YouTube looking for leadership. And I was running into Simon Sinek. I was running into Maxwell. And I ran into some guy called Max Story. He was like the blue collar leadership guy. He was like talking about frontline leadership. And I was thinking in my mind, I was like, man, that's right up my alley. At that time, Mac, I think your model was that you wanted to put out these 5-minute videos. So, you know, after I went through those videos the first time, I was like, man, I need more than this. So I think in one of the videos in the comments, like, you had put your phone number in, and I reached out to you, and man, I think you messaged me back like within the next 30, 40 minutes. And man, that's where we got started. And
after what year that was, Asad?
2016, I believe. 2017.
Wow, you know, 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while. It was a while. And I think I had told you here recently that I went back to my first book, the Blue Collar Leadership book. And you had autographed it for me when I bought it. And I had the opportunity to bless somebody else with that book. Actually, a young lady who wants to know about leadership and who wants to grow and develop herself. And I was able to give her that book.
Outstanding. That's awesome. Yeah. That's cool right there. So you're talking about, you know, we're recording this video and putting it on our new Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel. But the videos you're talking about are on my what I call now my old channel, my personal. I still have it, and I still put some stuff out there occasionally. But this, our professional Blue Collar Leadership channel now, is the official one. But you saw all the videos where I was just sitting there. I didn't like making videos, and I was making them for somebody going to like them, but I didn't like doing it.
Yeah. Those videos was they were enough to get you going. So you dropped those nuggets on us, but now you had to go and pursue that information. You know, if it made you feel a certain way, and the way we feel about something is really important. But if it made you feel a certain way, then you'll go pursue that. And I was saying that, like, I'm just getting a snippet of the information I need, and that just made me hungry, made me go after more of it.
Yeah, that's outstanding. So we'll come back and talk about our relationship a little bit. What part of your, you know, in a little bit, what part of your journey do you want to share about who is Asad Murdoch, professionally or personally, whatever you want to share?
Yeah, so I am a student first. And I think that you know, I had learned quite a bit of stuff from studying all of blue collar leadership. And it gave me a great foundation to go and lead the companies, the organizations that I've been a part of over the last, you know, 10 years. And sometimes you go into these situations and you get so caught up in them that you forget about how you got there. Yeah. So my second stop, again, I worked for a furniture manufacturer. Actually, we had quite a bit of the market when I was there. And we eventually got bought out by our number one competitor. So the company that I worked for produced furniture for the militaries and universities, multi housing furniture. So we built a lot of furniture, and we did a lot of growing in that 16 years. And like I said, my last 2 years after my mentor left, he told me that I needed to stay there because I needed to have running a facility that big with that many employees, with that much annual revenue, I needed to have that on my resume. So I stayed there for 2 years, and then I started looking for another opportunity. And part of my own personal challenge was I wanted to see that all this. So I had 16 years of experience in that building, but I wanted to see that all this stuff I just learned over the last 2 or 3 years, does it really work?
Yeah. Can you transfer it?
Yeah. And I felt like I believed in myself, and I believed in all the things that I learned and was applying on a daily basis. I believed in that enough that I could take that anywhere. I could take my show on the road. So there was a company that I worked for. They were HVAC manufacturers. They were based up north in North Texas. And, you know, I don't know how they got a hold of me, but it was through a recruiting service. And they found out a little bit about me. They came down and interviewed me. I want to say it was like 3 times. And I believe that we had really good interviews every time. And they asked me to come and help them, you know, create some stability in this facility that was in San Antonio.
And that's where you live? You live
I'm here in San Antonio, Texas. I've been here basically my whole life. I lived in California, Northern California, about 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to go, you know, take my show on the road and go see, could I duplicate all the success that I felt like I had at my former employer, and now I'll be starting from scratch over here. New team, new industry. And actually I was pretty confident. I didn't have any real fear. It was just managing time, managing you know, the implementation of all the stuff that I had learned, all the blue collar leadership. Those lessons are so like fundamental and foundational that you can take them anywhere. I think one of the big things that was important for me making that move to my next company and changing industries was getting my character, my own personal character, where it needed to be. You know, really not paying lip service to care for the people, right? Because again, I had just learned all this stuff. I had applied it. I had seen the numbers change. I had had success, and now I'm going to go do this all over again. But in a way, you know, it was about me.
Yeah.
You know, me wanting to move up in my career, me wanting to advance my career, me wanting to challenge myself to see if I could really apply these things no matter where I went. So when I got there, here come the challenges. Here all the challenges were starting, and it was trying on like my own personal character. So like there were several times when I think I had to call you and was like, you know, this stuff is working the way it's supposed to work, but there's something not going on right here. And it was the like not just paying lip service to the care of the people, like really caring about the people. So I had to kind of slow down a little bit, and it probably took me a little longer to get things going the way they needed to go, to get the results, to get the team, to buy in from the team, to establish real influence with the team where they understood what we were doing and where we were trying to grow as a team. But
can I ask real quick right there?
Yeah.
You made a good point, and you're talking about how long it took. Have you seen, and I don't want to fast forward your story, but I do want you to take a little bit of the future story and wrap it around that. But have you seen where, you know, as you started doing that, you were saying, I had to learn something about me to be able to do that more effectively. But as you've done it, have you figured out when you do learn something about yourself that the next time you have to do it, maybe it goes a little faster. And then the next time you have to do it, maybe it goes a little faster because you. It's actually something we have to learn how to literally lead. It doesn't just take the principle, apply it, and it works. It's a whole lot of stuff we got to learn, but we can actually learn it and get better at it. Is that what happened with you?
Exactly. So, the new company that I'm at, it's been 10 months and night and day.
Really? And you've been at this company 10 months?
10 months.
And you brought Blue Collar Leadership with you, but you had also kind of trained and developed yourself to leverage it at the last place or the last two places.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, this situation is, it's its own animal. Again, I was changing industries. So I went from like really strictly manufacturing, hard product furniture, HVAC ductwork, commercial and residential. Now I'm in food. I'm responsible, but you know, the principles are all the same. So this time, I went in with what I'm studying right now, more intentionally. I think me and you talked about maybe 3 months before I made this change. One of the gentlemen that I work for, he was a former employer of mine. He was a former president of a company that I work for. He's an engineer, super smart guy, really, really smart guy. He gave me a lot of opportunities at my first company. He's the one that put me on the lean stuff. He introduced me to the lean stuff. He introduced me to the quality aspect of things and how they needed to work together. But he asked me to come take a look at this facility and see if I could find some low hanging fruit. So those are always easy wins, you know, to go somewhere and look at something and say, you know, hey, why is this guy wasting time walking 10 yards over there to get that part when you could put the table right here next to him?
Common sense, but it ain't common practices.
Exactly. So I went and I had an opportunity to go and look at what was happening in the facility. And, you know, just those cursory glances, I went in there with something specific on my mind to go give them a couple of ideas about changing some things. So, you know, he was like, and again, I already had a relationship with him. I worked with him before. He know that when I get in the building, I'm going to give him 110%. And we hadn't been around each other in a while. We hadn't really been having a lot of, you know, detailed conversation, but my leadership style has changed. You know, 10, 15 years ago, everything looked like a nail to me. So I was a hammer.
He was a hammer.
So now, you know, that's only going to take you so far. But when you start motivating teams and people after goals, then you start seeing real results. So going into this opportunity, I knew that I have to take all of these blue collar leadership tools that I have, all these skills that I've been developing, all this stuff that I very intentionally work on daily. I invest in myself daily. Like I don't let up on that. I used to let up and I could see the results of letting up, but I don't let up on that no more. Me and you, we talked a lot of times, and I heard you say, you know, a song like I read every day. And like some people don't understand the whole thing, but like I read every day. Like I very intentionally pick something to read every day. And
it shows. You've grown a lot. Yeah. It's because of that. It adds up. A little bit adds up a lot when you do it every day for years.
Yeah. So again, going into this, it couldn't be about me. And I did so much work about value, character, principle, you know, and caring about people, caring about everywhere I've ever been. None of the people that sit in them offices and call those shots, they don't do none of the work. They don't do none of the work. They get all the credit, but they do none of the work. It's those people that's out there on the floor. I went from 160 people in my facility. My second one was like 38 people in that facility, you know, give or take, ebb and flow over 7 years. And now I have, I started with about 49, and now I have, we went to two shifts. Now I have about 60, 64 people in my facility. And those people that come through the door every day are the people that get the work done, right? So very intentionally for the past 10 months, I've taken all of my time, effort, energy, and any experience that I've had, and I just pour it back into those people every single day, every single day. When I first got there, my first 60, 65 days, I had to be the first person in the building, and I had to go get my hands and mind and understanding wrapped around every little detail of what had to take place in that building.
Yeah. And you then, get a lot of relationships doing that, I bet.
Yes, sir. And that allowed me to that allowed me to be a better teacher. So you tell me all the time about, you know, being able to tell my story. I had two sessions, some one-on-ones with I would say like second tier associates in my facility yesterday. One is a area supervisor, and then another one is an aspiring lead person.
And they all report to you.
Yes. Yeah, everybody. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. So you're over the whole facility.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I had to talk to these two different people. They were two different situations. I was talking to my supervisor. This is my first time introducing him to Blue Collar Leadership. I put together the first five chapters of Blue Collar Leadership, and I done ordered the book for him in Spanish. And I wanted to sit down and talk to him and explain to him like where we trying to go.
Oh yeah, this is something you did. Just you talking about what you did this week.
Yeah, this week. Yeah,
just a couple days ago. The books hadn't got there. They come maybe tomorrow or something.
Yeah, no. This was yesterday. I'm preparing him for the book, Matt. I want him to be prepared when the book gets there. I got him the first five chapters in Spanish. I put it in a binder for him. You know, I sleeved it all up. It's all nice and pretty. And I told him, I said, you know, from in the last 10 months, we've grown from here to here. But the next 10 months, you know, we want to blow the roof off the place. We want to get down here. And the way for us to get down there is for us to understand these lessons that's in here.
Wow, that's awesome. How did he embrace that talk? What do you think? How do you feel? If you had to describe it to me.
Yeah, so because there's a little bit of a language barrier, we communicate with each other every day really well. But because there's a little bit of a language barrier there, after I told him what I wanted him to understand about the book and about where we was going and about how much time we was going to spend on, you know, blue collar leadership, I listened to the things he said, the things that he'd been listening to me talk about that he's already applying, about taking the time to, you know, interact with his team and becoming more of a teacher, you know, versus being a worker, right? So they earned their respect before I got there by being the best worker. And I told him that, you know, that's only going to take us so far that you're the best worker, right? Now you need to start pouring into your team. Now you need to start helping those guys grow, develop themselves. It's going to start in the work area because that's where you are every day. He said, but I told him that, you know, you got to go further than that. And yesterday I had the opportunity, I had set my timer that this meeting was going to be 15 minutes. But then when when I gave him the opportunity to talk and I really just wanted to listen, you know, I had to reset that timer a couple of times. Yeah, so he's got it. They already on the way. All of my lead people and all of my supervisors, they already on the way. I'm preparing them for when they actually have this book in their hand. We're not trying to set the world on fire. We trying to make steps of progress every single day.
Yeah, so I'll just tell the folks listening or watching that the book Assad's talking about is Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Lines. It's a book I wrote for the entry-level worker, but it applies to everyone. I mean, I had Mike Huff. He's a 5,000, he's a CEO of a 5,000 person company. And he read that book, called me up. I didn't know him at the time. Today he's bought thousands of books and had to speak a bunch of times, but I wrote it for the entry-level person. As you know, Assad, the listeners may not know, but the CEO of 5,000 person company read that book, called me and was fired up about how much he got out of it. So that's why, you know, you're talking about a supervisor, but it applies to everybody, but especially, and you know this, but what's in that book, if you want your team to do what's in that book, and every leader would, you got to model it for them first. Yeah. And that book is in Spanish. And for the listeners, Blue Collar Leadership and Teamwork, 30 Traits of High Impact Players, is also in Spanish. If you're out there listening and you're looking for some Spanish content. So that's so awesome, man. So you're talking about, I know you and I talk, so I know about your success there, but you guys, you and that team have really, I mean, y'all, I don't know, you may or may not want to share it, but y'all have a pretty significant percentage of basically productivity output gain from when you came 10 months ago. And again, I know it ain't just you, and you know it ain't just you, but it's you and your team. What kind of results can you share, if you can share any?
Yeah, so our production output has grown 300% from the time that I got there. It's interesting when you walk through the door and you see so much low hanging fruit. You know, you go after those things first, but you still have to have vision for the big picture.
Yep.
And you start thinking, man, you know, how do you turn this stuff around? And the way I turn it around, the way I help that team, the way I serve that team to get us to where we are today was, you know, one elephant bite at a time. Just one person at a time, one lesson at a time, 1 minute at a time. When I go back and look at all the things that were happening that were really bad when they were there, I'll tell you a quick story. So, you know, I'm in charge of everything. I'm responsible for everything, but we package up salsa and barbecue sauce.
Okay. And you put it in a bottle or in a some type of foil pack or something like that?
No, in a bottle. In a bottle. Yeah, the salsa jars. If you go in Walmart, you go in Kroger's, you'll see some product that done came through my facility for sure. No doubt about it.
Okay.
All over the country. So when I first got there, Mac, there are some specific tasks that have to happen. And we were failing at this stuff every single day. So we got to get this print that's on the side of this box for every single customer. And it needs to look nice. It needs to look nice for our customer. It's going to go on a store shelf and it's going to be representative of our customer. And it's going to be representative of the team that put it together.
Absolutely.
And my first couple of weeks there, man, we really failed at that. We failed at it every day. And that was a little hard on me. That was a little difficult for me to grasp that how can we get this right on Monday and then fail at it on Tuesday. And then come right back on Wednesday and fail again. So I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and make sure I was at the plant at 3:30. And, you know, I went in there and I wanted to learn, like, how are we making the mistake? I needed to get to the root of the problem. How are we continuing to make this mistake repeatedly? So I actually went into the plant one morning at probably like 3 o'clock. And I said that, well, I'm gonna print the trades for the first couple of jobs. So then that way I'll have them out the way, and then I can help the person that's printing these trades. I can work with them. I can really be hands-on with them. I'm gonna print the first couple of jobs and get them out the way, have them ready sitting to the side. And then when they get ready to start printing job four, I can be there and work with them. I can work with them through there. And man, Matt, I found out that we just not paying attention to the details, because by the time we started running, I found out that for a whole hour and a half, I was printing the wrong trades.
Let me just make sure everybody knows and I know that I'm following with this story, because you've been the top leader on site right there since you started, right?
Yes, sir.
So this story you're telling, you were the top leader. Everybody there reports to you on the org chart. I know everybody's a leader, but you're the formal authority top leader there. And you're out there at 3 o'clock in the morning doing labels, learning what the problem is. A lot of managers of people don't do that, Asad. You know that. That leaders of people make that kind of sacrifice to go help the people succeed. But you got in there and figured out you had the same problem they had, sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. Not paying attention to the details, you know, and not knowing, not really understanding. So, you know, a lot of times we looking too far down the road. We just thinking about the trade. Let's make sure we got enough trades so the machine to keep running. But we not thinking about the details of what go into the trade, what makes up the trade, what makes up this print, how we get this print lined up correctly. Yep. You know, when we set up the machine from the very beginning. I learned that lesson the hard way. But it's really been a long time since we made those type of mistakes.
But I guarantee you, though, I don't think you were. I mean, you were out there trying to solve the problem, so you were not just doing what managers do, just blaming the people. You were out there trying to get to the root cause. But when you figured out and discovered it, you made the same mistake you didn't want them to make. You saw them differently, though, I bet. Because if there was a little piece of you that wanted to blame them, you wasn't, because you were working on it. But that went away and says, we got to change how we do things. And people, not the problem, it's the process.
Exactly. So what I had to do was, you know, there was probably four or five people who may on any given day be responsible for this particular operation. I had to grab all those people and I had to tell them that I just made this mistake.
I did it.
This 17 cents a trade, and I'm going to have to answer to the owners, but I made this mistake. And now moving forward, I'm going to show you guys, you know, and I'm going to help y'all work through that. We don't make that mistake no more. And again, I think we've come a long way, but we very seldom, after that particular incident, we very seldom made that mistake. Yeah, we don't. Yeah. And you know, me and you, we have a new motto now, right? And it's keep climbing, right? We say keep climbing all the time. But, you know, back about 7 years ago, it was make it happen.
Yeah, make it happen. Someone else will. It might as well be you.
Yeah, so as I started looking at the team of people around me, I understood that nobody ever spent any time really explaining to them what the expectations were, the details of the expectation. Only, you know, we need to have this thing done and we need to have it done this fast. So what I would like in my brain, in my ideas to think, was the time and care that I invested in those teammates that have those particular responsibilities is what drove us to the results that we're seeing today and in production and throughout the company. We got good growing pains.
That's phenomenal. And you brought a lot of experience, but you know who you used to be, and you know what you've learned reading my books. You've read a lot of my books, not just that one. You sound like you might have read about all of them.
I in my office right now, I'm in my office at my house. I have probably like seven of your books laying around. I have four of them on my desk, including Rhea's book, The Ladder Influence. Those are tools, Matt. So, so the ladder influence is on my desk. So when my team comes up there, they see me walk in the building every day with a book. But when my team walks into my office and we need to talk about something, no matter what it is we need to talk about, they see that book. They see the ladder influence. They'll pick it up. Just this week. So this week, that book been picked up twice. And they asked me, what's this you reading? That opens the door for me to start teaching.
Wow. That's awesome. So I got to ask you, we're going to bounce around a little on these subjects, but I guess while we're still here, though, I would ask you, because you know who you used to be. You know how much you've learned. You probably can look and see. You talk about y'all have improved 300%. That's phenomenal. And I led a lot of teams that did that. So I understand how you did it, and I believe it. Some people may not believe it, but I believe it 100%. And I saw your numbers. You're taking pictures of those charts and sending them to me. But if you'd have went in old school style, being a dictator, you think y'all would have got 300%? I mean, you've been there the whole time.
No.
What do you think would happen if you'd have went in the way you used to be, the old way?
I would end up creating a lot of turnover. I'd end up losing a lot of probably good people. People that's dedicated to like what their small part and responsibility to that operation is. I would have ran off a lot of those people. They wouldn't have put up with the type of person I was.
Yep. And you had to be selective, make sure you didn't bring anybody in who's going to do that. That's another challenge you have as a top leader. You got to make sure you don't bring in somebody to contaminate your team when you get it going.
Exactly. Yep.
So I made a mistake earlier when we first started talking. I said I didn't have a mentor to call and talk to because I was thinking in my mind about John Maxwell and Stephen Covey, and somehow I forgot about Jimmy Collins. And you know, Jimmy Collins is a former COO and president of Chick-fil-A. And I mean, he's been a personal friend of mine in Ria's since 2015, you know, a mentor. I don't bother him much because I really respect him. And I mean, he's been retired since 2001, but he's a special person in my life. And I know you told me just before we got on and started recording that you was able to talk to him. And I've been able to connect him with quite a few people that I mentored to be able to talk to him. So I haven't even heard because I told you to save it till we started recording. So I just want you to share whatever you want to share that you feel comfortable sharing about how that came about and today's conversation, because that had to be something special for you. I know it was for me the first time I met him or talked to him.
So, and
he's 87. I hate to interrupt you. I forgot to say that. He's 87 years old. He'd be 88 on Cinco de Mayo for the audience.
So Jimmy is a while ago, maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, you told me, "Hey, I know you over there trying to change things that's going on, and it's tough for you over there because of where you've developed your character to." You said, you told me to go get the Troy Cathy book. You told me to get the Troy Cathy book. You told me to get it. It's easier to succeed than fail. So I went and got Troy's book first.
Yeah.
And then you started telling me about the opportunity you had to meet Jimmy.
Yeah.
And I went and got Creative Followership.
That's a good book.
That's Jimmy's book. That's amazing. That's an amazing book.
You know, there's you probably saw it. You probably saw it aside. That, you know, I write Blue Collar Leadership and I talk about lead yourself well. He wrote Creative Followership talking about follow well, but we're teaching almost the same principles.
Yes, sir. I had asked you about that before. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You told me to go and listen to the podcast. So I don't remember the podcast number, but you did a couple of interviews with Jimmy.
Yeah, that was on my Blue Collar Leadership podcast. It's episode 119, 121, and 123. For anybody watching or listening, you can go check those out. So you went and checked those out?
I went and checked those out. And I called you one night, and me and you, we talked for a while, and you told me, he was like, you told me that you would help me connect with Jimmy. And I was asking you because I wanted to know, is there a huge difference between blue collar leadership? This is what me and you follow, right? This is the way I understand what we do, how we go about creating influence, how we go about leading teams to success. We call that blue collar leadership. And it's because I came from the front line. My story is, I feel like it's really similar to your story, right?
I was
the guy out there working, making it happen. But at some point, I needed to, you know, there's a saying, you know, if I had 10 asides, man, I'd be all right. So I had to figure out, you know, I can't duplicate myself. I can't clone myself. But how do I get that out of the rest of the team that's around me? And, you know, I had to go down that path of the blue collar leadership to get to that. So, you know, back to Jimmy, I wanted to understand, you know, Jimmy talks about servant leadership.
Yeah.
And I wanted to understand, like, how these two things work together. So you blessed me with that opportunity to connect with him, and me and him, we started a conversation going back and forth. And I'm respectful of his time.
Or message?
By message. By best. We was messaging. Yeah, okay. We were messaging back and forth. Okay. And you know, I had something come up the other day. Something didn't go my way. And I reached out to Jimmy, and I explained to him how the situation went down. And, you know, he said it was a day later that he sent me a reply. You know, it was a pretty lengthy reply. So he took some time, you know, invested some time in me.
Yeah.
You know, and Jimmy's awesome. Like 87 years old. And the first thing that was impressive about his reply to my situation was how lengthy it was, that he invested that much of his personal time, you know, to give me some guidance.
And you may not know, but I know he's got eye problems and he don't like texting anymore, really. But he still did that. That even makes it even that much more special, because that challenges him now. But that's how he can connect with you.
It's always special. It's always really special to hear from him. I know that. So the past 3 weeks, the past 4 weeks, I spent my time reading Deanne Turner's book. It's my pleasure.
Yeah.
And you told me to read that one, but after I read that one, I ran into Bet on Talent.
Yep, kind of like the sequel to that one, extended version.
Bet on Talent, like, blew me away. So all these blue collar lessons I've been learning from you, you know, for the past 11 years, and I've been going and applying. My situation is a little bit different here, because now I can see where I need my blue collar leadership style to affect more things in the organization. And then her book kind of leads me to that. And one thing that stood out, I actually have had some conversation back and forth with Deanne Turner over the past few weeks, right? She knows how much I like that book. is that both you and Deanne have a common mentor in Jimmy.
Yeah.
And
you on that team.
Yeah, I have this real powerful leadership of mentors, you know, to help continue to guide me and allow me to grow. And I think that if I keep putting in the work every day, you know what I'm saying, I'll keep turning out results. But a lot of the lesson that I learned from Jimmy was that I think that early on in my blue collar leadership journey, it was still about me. I was still trying to figure out like how successful I could be. Yep. But now I understand that, you know, if I be even more selfless, the results will come. Yep. If I pour into my team, the results will come. Yep. I don't even have to worry about it. There's no question.
Yeah.
Those so results will show up every time. Though?
You talked to him on the telephone today, though, right?
No, we were messaging back and forth yesterday morning.
Oh, okay. I was thinking I misunderstood. I thought you had been on the phone with him.
No, I didn't, you know, I think Jimmy's got some personal stuff going on, so I didn't want to bother him. I just wanted to let him know that I had appreciated him reaching out to me when I had some issues going on that I needed some advice on. And I wasn't sure if he was going to reply back to me, and he did. You know, he took the time to reply back.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you read a lot of Jimmy's, or you read Jimmy's book, you read the book by Truett, you read Deanne's book. So you see a lot of these principles are all the same. We just call them different things, or we got different stories to support it. But did you see that, or did you see something completely different?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All these lessons are universally the same about leadership. I think that there's a disconnect between. So I think one of all of our favorite books. I know you and Deanne. You know, you have a different take on this book. Me and you talked about it a couple of times, but Good to Great, right? So this is one of those books that like really motivated me, and I understood that all these companies went from good to great because they had level 5 leadership in the facility, right? So that takes me back to blue collar leadership. Like this is the right stuff to get us where to go.
Yeah,
this is absolutely the right stuff to get us where to go. And I get the unique and I know that you make yourself available to really anybody, right? So everybody knows that anybody who knows me know that you like you my personal mentor, right? I can pick up the phone and hear back from you. If I'm struggling with something that I don't understand, I can get some feedback from you. But really anybody who wants to know about blue collar leadership can have access to you the same way I do. I know that, and I hope that after they see this video, I hope the podcast, I hope that they'll know that you can reach out to Matt. And Matt will, you know, give you some wisdom to you.
Yep. Is that the phone number you dial right there, Asad, at the bottom of the screen? Is that the same number you call?
Yeah, that number been locked into my phone for 11 years. About 11, 12 years now. Yeah,
yep. I may keep giving it out. One point, I may not be able to answer it, but right now I can still answer it. I got capacity to help folks out. And, you know, I don't charge people. I just want to help people. But I appreciate you sharing that. And I think you're going to be you're going to be the fourth video that goes out in this series. I've already got about 50 people lined up. So there's going to be at least one a week for the next year, if not longer. So people are going to see.
Go ahead. Those four guys, I know all of those guys personally. I had the opportunity to meet them at that, at the training session, the book study in Fort Worth with Jason, Denham.
Yep.
Yeah,
his video actually went out today, number one. We like 3 weeks ahead right now, so yours will come out on March the 29th, which is from today. That's several weeks away, but so you drove, just like Renee, his is going to come out next week, Renee Duron, and I don't say his last name right ever, but Duron maybe is a better way to say it, but he'll be coming out, this number two video, but what's cool, you and him both drove like 6-hour round trip. He drove separate. Y'all didn't really know each other, I guess, at all. But y'all sat close to by each other. But what caused you to? I mean, we've been talking on the phone for 6 years, 7 years, and been mentoring you. You getting crazy results, and it was on a Saturday. What caused you to invest that in yourself to drive 6-hour round trip to spend? What'd you spend 4 hours in there? 3-4 hours?
Yeah, I pretty much stayed just about to the end of it. Yeah, I tried to stay for the whole thing. I wanted to take in the I wanted to be there for it. You had sent me the link once before, and I hadn't had a chance to catch that first Saturday of the month. So I wanted to come participate. And of course you and Rhea were gonna be there in person.
For that one.
Yeah, so I wanted to come find out what this looked like. And Jason been working on that for several years.
Oh yeah.
So it don't look like it looked in the infancy stage. It looked like it. So you're seeing like some of the result of all of his hard work.
Oh yeah. What did it feel like? What did you feel there? What did you feel? I mean, that's a construction company, a bunch of hardcore blue collar folks.
Yeah, I thought it was an amazing environment where there was a lot of interaction and a lot of excitement and energy for blue collar leadership. I think that I got the opportunity to see that not only can I make this stuff effective in the facility and with the team that I work at, but you know, I saw wives in there.
Yeah.
I saw girlfriends, sons. I saw little kids in there. I remember that the gentleman that was like the producer had his son next to him, and his son knew the lessons. His son was speaking up on the lesson. He had heard him that much.
Yeah, he was like 9 or 10 years old. Amazing. He was in there saying some stuff and nodding. He was on fire too, wasn't he? That's Nick Minton's son. I'm gonna try to get Nick on here and interview him one day as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it was a privilege to have you up and see you in person and meet you finally, because we talked, you know, we've been talking for years, but hadn't got connected. So I saw when you moved around there, I see my book, Blue Collar Leadership and Culture, the 5 Components for Building High Performance Teams. Tell me what that book means to you and what you've been able to do in the last 10 months at this place.
Yeah, so influence. I don't think we understand in the workplace influence
without authority.
So one thing that you and Rhea always are telling me is that, you know, leadership is influence, and sometimes people can't connect the dots. So we need to, the culture book for me has, more influence on the big picture.
Yep. That's what it is.
So we out here on the front lines and we making it happen on the front lines, but there's a lot of other things happening in the building, in the facility, in the company, you know what I'm saying? And in order to keep growing and progressing, all those things have to fall in line with the rest of it. I'll just give you a little small example. So I had to focus on production when I got into this building, but there was a lot of other failure, a lot of other things that need to be addressed in the building. But I needed to focus. My number one focus had to be on production. The two production areas, I had to get those corrected first. And now that we done start seeing some success and some progress and some consistency, it's starting to put pressure on the rest of the structure.
Yeah, that means you're leading everybody else.
Exactly. So those are the things that can easily be addressed by the lessons in the culture book. You know, how do we get the right people in the building?
Yep. Go ahead.
Say it again.
I was going to say, what is your favorite book or favorite principle, or what's something that stands out of my content that like you talk about a lot? Like I talk about the 7 habits a lot, but a lot of people talk about my books. Like I talk about the 7 habits. Is there anything that you reference a lot from stuff you've learned in my book? I'm just curious on a personal level.
Almost everything that I walk and talk, Mac, is strictly come out of your books. I actually sent you a picture yesterday. I don't know if you remember, but I was telling you that I couldn't sleep the other night, so I got up early in the morning. I said I wasn't gonna lay in the bed any longer. I was gonna get up and go study. And when I came to study, I knew that I had a meeting with one of my supervisors that runs my kitchen, and I wanted to explain to him, you know, how to see what he don't know.
Yeah.
I need to get his ego out the way, right? I need to get his pride out the way, right? And tell him that, man, we still got a lot of growing to do, and I need you to recognize what you don't know. I need you to know, understand what this perimeter awareness is, right?
Yeah.
So we can start getting to all the things that we don't know. So I had that drawing. I had that drawing up on the board.
Yeah.
What we know, what our knowledge is, which is a little bitty circle. Our knowledge is this little bitty circle. And then we got just on the outside of that circle what we call a perimeter of awareness. That's when we start becoming aware of all the things that we don't know. That's this huge circle that's outside that. And I love that lesson. That lesson can, so again, I was just introducing blue collar leadership to this young man. And I wanted him to be thinking about it in the aspect of, man, you're a really smart guy. But in order for you to really be successful at leading this group of people that work for you, you need to kind of start understanding some of the stuff you don't know and start working on that. And if you work on it, your guys will see you work on it.
Oh, yeah.
Your guys will see you working on it.
Yeah, that's powerful. And what for the listeners out there, Asad's talking about a lesson I actually teach in Blue Collar Leadership and Supervision, Unleash Your Team's Potential. That's chapter one, the challenge of
That's the first chapter of this book.
So the first chapter is in the beginning, subtitles, the challenge of not knowing what you don't know. So if you're listening or watching, you ain't ever seen that book, you can actually go to bluecollarleadership.com/download and read the first five chapters of that book, including the first chapter that Asad was actually just talking about. And, you know, I learned a lot of what I taught right there. Some of it, the foundation of that, I learned in Dr. Covey's book, The Seven Habits. And so, you know, when people read my stuff, a lot of times people want to know, where'd you learn that? And where'd you learn this? And they want to go read the books that I read. And then they'll figure out they really don't want to read them books a lot of times because they make your head hurt or they ain't that much good stuff in some of them. Seven Habits is full of stuff. But I mean, it's, I always tell people it makes your head hurt to go read that book. I try to condense all the stuff I've learned from hundreds and hundreds of books. Oh, Renee told me the other day in his, when I was interviewing him here, he said, man, what I like about your books, they got all the stuff without the fluff. I said, oh, that's a good line right there.
There you go. Yep.
So we're getting close to wrapping up here. You got any final thoughts, something you didn't say, something I didn't ask you, or something you just like to share, some wisdom, some nuggets, or any kind of anything you want to share, anything on the table?
Yeah. So just a couple of, Mac story, blue collar leadership tips, you know, all this stuff that you learning, the way to be the most effective is to be modeling it. And as you start growing and developing as a leader, no matter what your title is, no matter what your position is, when you start giving more than you receiving, your results will start coming faster. So I've had the privilege of, I know the story about the Corvette and the Hummer. I know those stories. I know that my mentor, you know what I'm saying, he's getting different, possibly better results, because he changed how much he was given. So those are the type of things I'm after. I'm not worried about my career as far as like climbing the ladder no more. What I want to do is be successful in helping transform the lives of the people around me. If I'm going to go to a building every single day over and over again, and I want to be more than just effective in the workplace, I want for the things that I'm showing and teaching the team around me, I want that to have an effect on their careers and their lives, period.
That's good stuff right there. And you're talking about, you know, what I teach in my book, 10 Values of High Impact Leaders, actually Jason's favorite book of mine. And one of the values, the last value I talk about in there is the value of significance. And that's what you're talking about, where we move from success to significance. And that's what you've done. That's what I've done. That's what all high impact leaders at some point they've moved from focused on their own success to focused on helping other people have success. And John Maxwell always says, once you taste significance, you won't ever go back, because it feels so good to help other people become successful. And if you're actually doing that, you're going to be phenomenally successful. If you truly value helping other people, because that's how you get paid, really. You're going to make plenty of money financially, but yeah. You're really getting paid. The ROI is seeing other people excel. And then folks like me and you who do want to really help other people, what we know is, and I learned it from John, only about 10% of those people who we help to become successful, unfortunately, only about 10 of those people are going to do what we're doing now and start shifting their focus on helping other people become successful. Right. So we got to think, out of 10 people we actually can help become highly successful, only one of those 10 is going to help other people do the same. But we got to do it anyway, because until you're successful, you can't help other people really become successful. So you got anything else, Asad?
No, it's been great. I really want to thank you and Rhea for, you know, always supporting me, always having good advice for me, and continually creating the opportunity for me to help the people that surround me all the time.
All right, man. Well, I sure do appreciate it. And we do want to acknowledge Rhea. She's in the background running everything. She's making it happen. Without her, this wouldn't be happening, because I would never go through the headache of trying to learn all this technology. Yeah. Kind of like a podcast. I would just be doing that. But she's a big role. She's playing a big role in us doing this. So I'm going to let you go then. And I appreciate you being here. And
yes, sir.
If you're listening again, you can watch this video. If you're not watching it, you're only listening, you can watch it on Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel. And that's at Blue Collar Leadership on YouTube. All right. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit BlueCollarLeadership.com to learn about Max's books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.